How's the view from 3-1, Clippers?
Oh, I was happy to be wrong about this one.
it's your dudes. It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am still positive, Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
We bring you, very happily, we bring you Clippers news 5 days a week.
This one feels good.
This one does feel good. We're, of course, talking about the 96-85 win over the Nuggets. No, that score is not incorrect.
Old school score. The game was very kind of goofy flow-wise, but yes. We got the dub. Also, welcome to all the new listeners. We probably got some new people.
Hey, yeah. If you're new to the podcast, thanks so much for checking us out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hope you're a fan of the Clips. And hey, even if you're just rocking with us for a little playoff run, we'd love to see
it. Make the clip flip. It's okay.
We'd love to see it. Anyways, we're going to be kicking things off with a recap of that win. It's going to kind of bleed into two segments. First, we're going to start things off with what we liked. There was a lot that we did like in this game.
Definitely.
And then we're going to get into what we didn't like in the second segment. And, like, I mean, just spoiler alert, the biggest thing is really just some of the offensive struggles.
Yeah.
Ball was kind of sticking. Some things like that we have seen before. But overall, you know, quality win that we're pretty pleased with. And we have some fabulous voicemails.
Thank you to everyone who called in. We have the best, other than the Clippers bro voicemails.
Yeah.
We have the most creative voicemail we've maybe ever got.
Yes. Please. The party line is open.
Yes.
24/7. Please go ahead and leave your text. What's that number again, Charles?
That number is 213-986-7354.
Guy doesn't even have his mother's phone number memorized, but he knows the party line number.
Yep, exactly.
And I appreciate it. And then to wrap things up today, we got some shavings. We're going to be talking about some bubble life stuff. And then, just the commitment of a very special Clipper fan out there.
Dude.
So we got to commend that
effort.
We have
to.
So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So the Clippers took care of game four. We're sitting at 3-1, which feels good. Just feel good about the 3-1 lead right now, is what I would say. And
don't get in your head about it.
Don't get in your head about it. What we should get in our heads about is the fact that Kawhi Leonard is continuing his absurd run of dominance.
Yes.
In these playoffs.
Yes.
The man had 30, 11, 9, 4 steals and 2 blocks.
Absurd.
It was, and again, this is said all the time, it's the quietest 30, 11, 9, 4, and 2 game I've ever seen.
The most surprising, I didn't realize that he had 9 assists. That was super surprising to me. His passing has gotten to another level.
Postseason high for him.
Yes. Yeah, makes sense.
He played good defense as always, but this is what, if for some reason you didn't understand what Kawhi was all about on the basketball court,
mm-hmm.
This game and the game before it and the game before that have shown you what he's about, and that's dominating the opposition.
Definitely.
On both facets.
Definitely.
We can't say enough about how good he was in this game.
I mean, it's just cliche. It's almost just getting
it's
cliche.
It's hard to find things to say.
It's very difficult. I mean, he was clearly locked in this one. You know, not that he isn't in other ones, but I think that... Do you think at times it maybe gets a little boring for him to just be locked in the whole time?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Reggie Jackson only played 41 seconds this game, and I think that maybe helped Kawhi out a little bit. He had to share the court with Reggie quite a bit in those other games.
That's definitely true. That's definitely true.
Which we've seen him not like, but no, he's just elite. He's the best player in the NBA right now.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, he's a world ender.
Man, another thing that we liked in this game, Ivica Zubats.
Yes.
Looked good early, kind of helped set the tone on Jokic for what everything was kind of, what he was going to have to go through in this game.
Yeah, definitely. He was another part of that, just setting that defensive tone early, coming with the energy. His work in slowing Jokic down was great. I mean, obviously you're not going to completely,
You're not going to stop Jokic.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the effort was great. I have two little bugaboos. One I'll talk about and then what we didn't like, but okay. One just up front. Guy said he was going to use all 6 of his fouls.
I'm so happy he didn't. He only had, he used 4 of them, so it was close. And in a game reffed by Scott Foster, it could have very easily been 6, which
yes.
We will talk about in the next segment. But he had he was tied with Shamet for the best plus minus on the team.
Yep,
played almost 30 minutes.
Which we talked about in our game preview was going to be a key, getting those big minutes. I mean, this is, clearly the matchup for Jokic, and I do like. Yeah. I mean, this kind of, well, we should finish with this voicemail on the Zoo note, right?
Yes, we have an elite voicemail from Logan Rapp, who, thanks for, longtime Clippers fan, a great Twitter presence. Thanks for supporting the pod.
Locked On, Chuck and Will. This is Logan from North Hollywood. Let's talk about Ivica Zubac. Let's talk about his defense. Joker was going to eat, make no mistake, but this Denver team relies on him and relies on Murray to produce. Zoo being able to adjust Joker's shot and make him earn his points frees up Pat Bev, PG, and Kawhi to muscle Murray around. Jamal Murray played 44 minutes and logged 18 points. Zoo didn't need to dominate Jokic. He just needed to make things hard, to protect the rim, and to clean the glass. And that's what he did, and that let our elite defenders deal with Denver's elite guard. This is a man who is only 23, a man the Clips got from the Lakers for Mike Muscala and a wad of chewed-up juicy fruit. This is a man the Clips will only be paying an average of $7 million a year through 2023. This is a 23-year-old kid going up against a two-time All-Star, an All-Rookie first-teamer, and considered one of the elite bigs in the game today, and he did his job against him. God bless Magic Johnson for gifting us this bounty, and God bless Jerry West for actually believing the Lakers were serious when they called him.
All good points.
Yes.
Hope Logan's doing well up in NoHo.
Yes.
Hope it's not too hot.
It must be pretty hot up there.
We also, some other thing, like, the team did the little things better than the Nuggets, which is what a lot of Clippers fans, myself included, were looking out for. The first quarter, we held them to 12 points in the first quarter.
Yeah, and once again, I mean, you talked about this a little bit, but we didn't really completely exploit that scoring gap, I didn't think, on the offensive end. But, you know, other than that, yeah, great. Beat them in rebounds, points in the paint, turnovers. Steals, you know, it was just great all around. We talked about in our game preview that, like, keeping the Clippers keeping sub 12 turnovers would, you know, pretty much ensure a win, and they did just that.
Yeah, I mean, Doc did a good job. We can talk about this too. Doc coached a great game.
Yeah, so I think this is a great point, and this goes back to the Zubac thing too. You know, Montrez played 18 minutes in this one, and we'll talk about him in a little bit later, but. That was like kind of the perfect minutes distribution. Like, he saw what was working and he was willing to make adjustments. Even when in this game, you know, offensively, Trez was playing a lot better than he's played all series.
He got a dunk on he got an offensive board among three tired Nuggets and then dunked on those Nuggets. And that was that glimpse of and Trez at one point, I think in the second quarter after a finish, was running on the court and said, "I'm back."
Yeah.
So he's close to being back 100%. It's not quite there. Just because there was some, I mean, you know, this was a goofy game, so I think part of it was the game flow. But, there were glimpses of, oh, yeah, he really is, he's getting ramped up, and he's very close to going off the ramp. I don't know what happens after you ramp up.
Yeah, I mean, you get to your exit.
Yeah, which I hope is the end of the finals.
But he was 50, I mean, since we've already got off on this tangent, Trez was 15-2. He shot 60% from the floor, which is, you know, that finishing that we're used to him seeing.
Yeah.
And the thing that I think is so great about this is it was in 18 minutes. And as rotation is shortened, I mean, unless he's really able to exploit some sort of matchup that we see in the Western Conference Finals or in the finals, I kind of think that this is really the perfect sort of minutes load. Yes.
If we get there.
Yeah,
No, that's a good call. The efficiency in 18 minutes, this is like...
Because that's what he needs to do is the thing. Like, he's not... I just don't really foresee him getting, those long sort of, 30-minute things.
I hope
not. And the full second half of games, we saw during the regular season. I just don't know if matchup-wise what he'll give up on the defensive
end.
There'll
be enough time.
Is going to allow for that.
And that's a credit. You know, we started talking about Doc in this. That's a credit to Doc. You know, he had the Zoo played late, which was great. We doubled Jokic in the mid-post, which Corey DiBiase, who's going to leave another message at the end of this segment, was kind of right about. We talked about that worked well. The Nuggets will adjust for that.
Definitely.
I have to assume for the next game. But this game, it was great.
And we didn't get punished by their three-point shooting in this one, it's a bit of a lucky break. I will credit the defense some, though.
Reggie Jackson only played 41 seconds.
Yes.
Which, I mean, he's just out of the rotation, right?
So,
Shamit was great. He had the second. He was tied for the best plus minus. He shot horribly, which we'll talk about, but...
So I don't know if this ties into the same continuity thing that I know we've all beaten the horse to death with.
But I like in your metaphor, you just beating the horse to death. It's not beating a dead horse, which is different.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, we're beating the shit out of a horse. And, no, we don't condone any sort of animal cruelty.
No, absolutely not. Yelly.
I don't know if it's a continuity thing or what it is, but Shamit, when he's on the floor with the team, it just looks better.
I don't know how else to say it.
It looks better. I do think he's a better defender. He has yet to find his shot, which we'll talk about more in the next segment. But overall, I do think that's a very clutch adjustment by Doc.
Yes, and we've locked up Jamal Murray for pretty much this whole series.
Yes.
Like, he's been dealt with. Jokic, we've talked about, very difficult to deal with. But this was a good, this was a great game by Doc.
One more thing on the Jokic thing is he got his points, but we held him under 10 assists. He had like 6 assists,
yeah,
which is huge. We talked about that again in the preview. Is we need to keep this team out of their offensive rhythm, and preventing Jokic from getting guys going is huge in that.
100%. We also, to close out this segment, we got to give a shout out to the Salmon Polos.
Hey.
They remain undefeated. We've been on the Salmon Polo train. I think we maybe started the Salmon Polo train.
I mean.
They look great, first of all.
Knit the polos, but.
What if I could?
We might have known the knitter.
Kalamian, always looking good in the Salmon Polos. Doc, great. Lou, great. It was fantastic to see. And the whole team gave a good effort. We have a great message from Corey DiBiase right now, just kind of on how the whole team played.
Hey, it's the best name on Twitter, Corey DiBiase. He's back at you once again. Great win tonight. Kawhi played amazingly, offensively and defensively. I feel like once he started going hot, Denver was done. Beverly played well on defense once again. Trez came. He showed up tonight, and I think, you know, he's more comfortable now. Lou played amazing. I think it was because of the salmon pink polos that we got to win tonight. So, yeah, man, we got 3-1. We got to keep it going. Reggie didn't get that much playing time, which surprised me. So, yeah. But, yeah, we look good. PG, he'll have about, I think, 10 or 11 points, but it's okay. So he's going to get going next game. But, yeah, man, moving on. Friday night, close out. You know, we win Friday, we get that rest. Because I think that Rockets and Lakers series is going to go 7. So, yeah, man, keep it going. Keep the podcast going. Love it. I'm out.
Always appreciate it, Corey,
yeah,
by the way. Thank you so much. But he nailed it. It's a team effort. It's just like, other than the point total, we'll talk about coming up.
Other than some of the offensive things.
It was a perfect game almost.
Yeah, other than some of the offensive things, there's really not a whole lot more I could have asked for, especially when, I mean, to be honest, we were really harping on the defensive things. Like, that was our issue in the last one.
Yeah.
Because obviously the offense was a lot more potent. In that game 3, but you know, I'll take it. I'll take the lower point total. You know, if we're keeping a team at bay for an entire game, I mean, the Nuggets never led at any point.
No,
we were
up by 19, which wish that would have lasted, but hey,
they only tied at one point during the game.
Yeah.
And you know, like,
and they shot horribly.
Yes.
Like, yeah, they shot 39% from the field. You know, like, they only had two guys make more than 5 field goals, which was Jamal Murray, who made 6, and Jokic, who made 11. Like,
yeah,
only 3 guys. I don't know. It was great. Coming up after these 2 reads that we have to do, we're going to be talking about what we didn't like, which there was a tiny bit. But I first got to give a shout out to DoorDash. When you want to eat something but you don't want to make anything, which mm-hmm. we've all been there. You know, maybe you've had too much. You know, cheese dinner. You know, craft dinner, excuse me, as they call it in Canada. Hoping our north of the border friends are listening. You got to check out DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is very easy. You just open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off.
Oh, wow.
Very big fan of that. You can wave at the driver. You can give them kind of an air fist bump. It's a good time. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. We got to find some Australian national restaurants to throw in there.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that. I imagine one of them is called Twiggy's. Don't know why.
Vegemite a thing?
Yeah, Vegemite Mart. shout out to everyone who's listening from Australia. This is ignorance.
Our bad.
This isn't true anger. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Please patron them. We need to keep our local spots open as much as we can.
That's right.
DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to help communities that they operate in stay safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more, which is very easy to do. When you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA, all cap letters, one word, that's $5 off your first order and zero delivery fees. When you download the DoorDash app and the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA, and I gotta say it one more time, don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA, all capital letters, one word, for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. And now that you have all the food you could eat, you probably got to fix your car.
You know what? It's time to gear up for the Great American Road Trip.
Hell yeah.
And your car needs to be in tip-top shape.
Damn
for that.
Straight.
And you know what?
What?
There's only one place in my mind to get auto parts, and it's rockauto.com.
I was going
to
say my neighbor's car.
No, you should go to rockauto.com. They're a family business, and they've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. You can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything you need, whether it's for a classic or a daily driver. In a few easy clicks, they'll get it delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? It makes no sense. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Hey, rockauto.com. We're back. There's no breaks right now. We're just going straight into the what we didn't like, because there were a few things that we didn't like from the Clippers.
Just the offense,
yeah,
right?
It was 96-85, so there's some offensive bugaboos. I mean, as a team, we shot horribly.
Yes.
We talked about a little bit in the first segment. We held them to 12 points in the first, and we could have blown it wide open.
Yeah.
You know, but we only shot 37% and only put up 26 points.
And overall, as a team, we only shot 46% from the floor.
Yeah. We only made 8 threes.
Yeah.
8 for 28 from 3. Shamit, great at everything but shooting. He was 1 for 7. The one shot he did made was a 3, which was great. But this was something that, like, it was part of it was open shots not falling. Part of it was Denver playing some better defense.
Yeah.
Part of me thinks I'm kind of happy maybe we didn't get a 20-point lead in the first, because we've seen what happens to those in these playoffs.
That's true. It does keep the intensity up. That's
good?
I guess. That is definitely good. Just going kind of along with those offensive struggles, on the offensive end, a little bit of an invisible night for Marcus Morris and Paul George.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, PG, well, he had some early fouls.
Yeah, he did have 5 fouls throughout the game.
And 3 in the first half and 2 real quick in the first.
Yeah, definitely. And he only played 27 minutes in this one, so considerably less than Kawhi, nearly a full quarter less of basketball than Kawhi played. He finished with 10 points, only did have, 10 field goal attempts, so he was 4 for 10, which, isn't awful. And then Morris was super efficient. He shot 67% from the floor,
yeah.
Finished with 11 points. Once again, neither of these are what I would call bad performances. It's just not optimal, It's suboptimal.
Yeah, this could have been a much bigger win, which I guess is kind of a good thing to complain about.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'm kind of happy this happened, because it's nothing. We can't rest on anything that really happened in this game other than defense, right?
For sure.
Like, offensive stuff still needs to get tightened up. You have a nice note here about Zoo, who played so good. We're not like he helped us win this game 100%.
Yeah, so really there's not much to complain about in this effort from Zoo, but this is just kind of a thing that an overarching trend on the season and certainly in these playoffs is I would just like to see Zoo's finishing be a little bit more consistent and efficient. He was 4 of 9 from the floor. He did shoot 75% from the line, but
which I hate to say, I come to expect that now, and I'm happy about it.
Yes.
You know, like anything in that 70 range, I'm like, yeah, that makes total sense. He's great at free throws.
Yeah, definitely. So that, I mean, that like that does help that out. That does bolster that. But I don't know if this was a closer game, you know, that's something that can definitely tilt the scales in our favor. Just being a little bit more efficient
for sure
with that touch. And I'm sure it'll get there. And he still did have some, you know, he still had some highlight worthy finishes. But
and like Logan said, it's like he's still 22,
yes,
23, whatever.
23.
Like it's crazy. One thing that I'm now hitting is the free throws late almost. It was a little kind of like Trez missed one, Lou missed one kind of late when things were not totally out of reach. You know, it wasn't like a 10-point lead with like 4 seconds left. It was a time when it was like these free throws could come back to bite us.
For sure.
Which has kind of been a trend a little bit, which I hope gets better.
Yeah, I mean, that was another thing I guess that we didn't like overall is, I mean, I felt like there were a lot of opportunities to kind of shut the door.
Yes.
It didn't quite happen. And you know, I will partially credit that to this Nuggets team. Obviously, they're not just going to roll over.
Yeah, they're not quitting.
But yeah, I mean, you would like to see it. I don't know. I guess for your own, for my own comfort,
for sure,
I would like to see that, you know, a little bit more comfortably closed. Going on some of the free throw stuff, Lou had a really off shooting night in this one.
Yeah. I want him to. He passed up a couple of open threes.
Yeah, he, you know, he did not make a single three tonight, which, you know, has been an issue for him. He was 3 of 11 from the floor overall. You know, on the bright side though,
yep,
he did have 3 assists.
Okay,
with 0 turnovers.
Okay,
which is a William Updike perfect game.
So is your just perfect game any amount of assists with no turnovers?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, well, you are a Chris Paul fan, so that makes a lot of sense.
And also, you know, like his effort was still there. He got to the line more than any other Clipper, which, you know, is a huge part of his game.
And how we win games.
And, yes.
It really helps us win games.
And how we win games. And, you know, even Paul George kind of talked about in his post-game presser about, you know, Lou Will's increased commitment on the defensive end. You know, Paul George commended Lou Will on his effort. And he said, you know, 9 times out of 10, Lou Will is, like, going to make a big play.
Yeah, 100%. Jermichael Green.
Only 18 minutes in this one.
A little odd.
So,
but I think that might be kind of his normal amount.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, right.
So it's that, like, weird thing, right?
I guess, right, like any bench player who isn't named Lou Williams is probably looking at sub 20 minutes from here on
and out. Lou will be close to that, I think, too.
I don't know that.
If we go further.
I think it just depends.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think it just depends on, you know, how his performance is looking. But, yeah, Jermichael, I mean, I guess the only reason I don't like this is I think that he's looked really good in this series. You know, he you know, wasn't, terribly impactful tonight.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
He's never losing you games, the thing about Jermichael. Like, Jermichael's minutes, it's either, like, not very impactful or, wow, he's literally everywhere. It's never like, wow, Jermichael's 0 of 7 from 3 with no rebound. Like,
yeah, definitely. So this isn't something that's, like, terrible or killed us or anything, but I don't know. I would just like to see Jermichael getting some touches, especially offensively, just to, you know, get going.
One other thing we didn't like in this game, and we're just going to go ahead and transition to kind of how we feeling. The first 2 minutes of the third quarter, the Clippers amassed 5 team fouls.
It was the worst stretch of basketball I've ever seen in my life.
The Nuggets were in the bonus for 10 minutes of the third quarter. Couldn't take advantage of it. Clippers fans, we've been there. Scott Foster is so annoying, and part of me blames the guy's got a full head of hair.
You think he'd be more humble if he was bald?
I think if he didn't have a nicer head of hair than most NBA coaches,
okay,
he would be a little more humble about everything.
I gotcha. Yeah, you think that he could? He thinks that he could be doing this.
100%. I think every ref thinks that, actually. But no, it was just, like, Clippers fans were upset, rightfully so. It was annoying as hell.
I mean, here's my thing: is, like, obviously it sucks for us, like 100%. But It's gotten to the level with like how pronounced like
so late whistles, like Kawhi not getting calls unless he literally gets hit in the face.
And it's not like, just us though, like the way he's reffing other teams and certain other players too. I mean, it's so well known and it's so pronounced in the way that it happens that I don't know, man. I do feel like legitimately the NBA, it's something that's worth opening up and looking at or investigating because it's absurd.
100%.
And not just even for us. I'm not even talking about Mavs, just for the Clippers.
In the Mavs series, it was so funny because both teams' fan bases were tweeting things like, oh, damn it, Scott Foster's. And like we're like, right. Wait, you hate Scott Foster too? But we have an elite voicemail that we have to play our feelings on the ref tonight. And then we'll get into how we're feeling. But just open your ears to the musical stylings of Twitter user Ryan Cordero right about now.
Fuck Scott Foster. Huh. First off, fuck Scotty, KRF, no pain. Clip set to the death, but he desperate, man. 2 minutes in the third, fourth, foul on sight. They bust on Trez once, but we bust for life. It's offensive when we get the ball, it's automatic. And it's Scott Foster and the refs off the mark, yes, bitches. We keep a running, steady gunning on these fools. And this punk making stupid ass calls like he know the rules.
I mean, I guess that about sums it up.
That sums it up, dude. We're going to have to, we had to edit that one a bit or not. I don't know.
Did he, I mean, he roasted him.
He roasted him. I love
was
that.
Was he in a zip up hoodie hood up when recording this?
Absolutely. How could you not? I think every diss track is recorded hoodie zipped up. And then to close this out, how we feeling? It's 3-1, goofy win. The game flow was weird. Clippers looked like they were pretty much going to handle it the whole way.
Look, I'm feeling really good. I think if we can continue to put in that sort of defensive effort, the shots will fall.
The defensive effort is the best thing to be psyched on in this game.
Yeah. I mean, like, you can't affect having off nights shooting offensively. You know, it's just one of those things. It's going to happen sometimes. But, obviously we have the personnel to put in the defensive effort to mitigate that. And that's the thing that you can change and you can affect. So
yeah.
I'm very pleased.
I'm happy about the win.
Yeah.
I'm excited that we're up 3-1. I have, tepid expectations for game 5. But I'm feeling good. It's like the defense looked good. The shots are going to fall. We have the full rotation now, and it feels like a real full rotation in terms of what we're going to see going forward. Doc shortened it up.
Yes.
It's 9 guys now.
Is Doc showing his hand?
I don't think he is yet, which is the craziest thing. But no, I'm feeling good. I'm excited for game 5. I think we can close it out. I don't think it's a given. This Nuggets team just came back from a deficit.
Yes.
They're not going to give up in this one. However, look a little bit gassed. Just tiredness-wise. I don't mean effort-wise at all.
Yeah, tonight definitely looked like they were a little beleaguered.
Yes. But, hey, it's okay to be excited that we're up 3-1.
Yeah.
You don't have to revisit horrible memories about other times when the Clippers...
Not yet.
But
and
just,
until the time comes, don't even worry about
just
it.
Just be a little happy. Someone tweeted at us, Kawhi doesn't care about your past feelings. And you know what? That is true.
Very true.
It's a very new team. Coming up after this, we have a shout out to maybe the fan of the bubble at this point, and then just a funny thing to talk about in terms of family members.
All right. So we're back with some shavings. What do we got here?
So we should do the shout out first. So Twitter user Justin Lerner has a great, I guess, superstition he has to do for the rest of the playoffs now.
Oh, man.
Which is when he stays at his office for the entire game, it's a good luck move.
Yeah.
And it worked tonight.
Yeah.
He also, this man posted a picture of the office he was in case people thought he was lying.
I love it.
I love it too. Like, this is, Clippers Twitter was fantastic tonight also. Like, all the Clippers fans are great. There was Clipper Cat, which I believe is a T-Nautical superstition.
Okay.
Which I love. He always pets his cat in a certain at a certain time or something like that.
All right.
The Justin Lerner dedication, he said his wife was texting him where he was and like asking him like when he was coming home, which I mean, I got to tip my ass.
I mean,
that.
It's fair if you're out at, 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, what the hell are you doing? You're at work for 5 extra hours.
I love it.
Or something. Justin Lerner, hats off.
Hats off.
In terms of existential MVPs, he would come in second place to the Salmon Polos, and that is a good second place to be in because the Salmon Polos are currently undefeated. If you have any fan superstitions, go ahead and let us know at Locked On Clips.
Yeah.
Or call in about it before Game 5, 213-986-7354.
Yeah, especially if you guys have any superstitions or premonitions about the 3-1 situation, please go ahead. Bang that party line.
Don't call me on no bullshit, though. and then another funny thing about the bubble that I noticed. So when there was no fans or people allowed in the bubble and players yelled or something, right? They were just kind of yelling into an abyss.
Yes.
There's just a big video screen with a black backdrop. Nothing's there. Now that they're allowing family members at games who sit in that area, the people getting yelled at when you see players be really hyped up or something, are those like Jimmy Butler was yelling at babies, like Trez was yelling at some family members. These people did not sign up to be the target for all on court yelling.
No, I agree.
I love it from just a this is so weird situation.
Yeah, right. There's like something so bizarre and personal about it that I do think is really interesting.
Like if Terrence Mann hits a three, he's going to point directly at his mom and be like, that was for you, mom. And so yeah. Like, that's awesome. Like,
yeah,
it's so funny.
It is just very funny. It's also funny, too, when you get to see the like the clips and the pictures of people who are clearly sort of bored at being at their spouses or family.
Especially if they have
work.
Children, small children with them.
You're yeah. Like, oh, so everybody's like kind of zoning out on their phone. It's just like, oh, yeah, good job, buddy. Yeah,
and Trez is like, I'm back. It's like a baby's like, what? Like, that's a good thing from the bubble, I would say.
Yeah.
That and the fact that they really stocked that lake so every player could catch a giant fish. I think that helped the Clippers more than anybody, actually.
That's fair.
I want to do a deep dive on PG shooting percentages the day after catching a large fish.
I don't know.
It actually
that.
Might not be good in that first round. Anything else in shavings?
No, that'll do it. Let's get that all out of here.
Yeah, just shout outs to the fans.
Yeah.
You know, hope Clippers fans are doing well. You can be happy about this game and still, you know, be a little worried about game 5. Both those things can be true.
Yeah, that's fair.
Don't dwell on history. Man, Friday's episode. Whew. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time.
Preview of the upcoming game.
Love, Mary Quarantine. We're going to probably, because the game 5 is on what? Saturday?
I believe so, yes.
No, what's today? Wednesday.
Friday.
Yeah, it's on Friday. So we're going to be previewing that hopeful game.
Not hopeful game. Hopeful victory. Game is going to be played.
So we're
going to
be, we might do a stream if we close it out.
Yeah.
On Twitter, at Locked On Clips. Hopeful victory stream, if you will. Nothing's done yet, though.
Nothing's done.
Is done yet. Nothing's given. The series is 0-0 as far as we're concerned.
That's true.
Let's get that dub.
Doc said.
It's going to be a fun preview. Where can these fantastic people find us?
You could check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. We're basically anywhere where you can listen to your podcast. If you listen to podcasts somewhere else, and I mean,
let us know.
And we don't get there. I mean, tell us.
I'm all about low key podcast streaming services.
On the DL.
Pirate radio. Yeah.
If you haven't already, please subscribe. It helps us out immensely. If you like what you're hearing, leave a rating or review. If you hate what you're hearing, maybe leave a rating or review too. We'd like to know what you think.
Yeah, why not? Thank y'all so much. We're still going. The Clippers. Oh, I'm so excited. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.